Hey, my name's Otis Gray, host of the Daily Book Club, a daily podcast where I read wonderful old books one chapter at a time. Simple as that. Whether you want to get engaged and lost in a fascinating story that has stood the test of time, or just relax to a good book, listen to the Daily Book Club to get wrapped up or unwind during your day. We'll read classic stories like Pride and Prejudice, The Enchanted April, The Wind in the Willows, beautiful stories all told from start to finish. And you can even do a real book club. Tune into the Daily Book Club Discord and discuss the readings with other book club listeners. However you want to listen, it's your choice. Subscribe to the Daily Book Club on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and everywhere else. New episodes every single day. So sit back, relax, and get lost in the Daily Book Club.
Amateur Traveler, episode 150. Today, the Amateur Traveler goes to the Bahamas. Learn about this area of 700 islands and a great deal of variety, from pristine beaches to fancy resorts. Today on the Amateur Traveler. Welcome to the Amateur Traveler. I'm your host, Chris Christensen. Before we get into this week's show, I want to bring out three different news stories from a series of news stories I posted on the Trepanator blog recently. The first one is about the Eiffel Tower. The lights are going out. Since January 1st, 2000, every hour after dusk, the 20,000 bulbs twinkle brilliantly for 10 minutes in what's become a tourist hit. But starting next month, the company that runs the tower has decided to half the time the bulbs are on, cutting illumination for 400 to 200 hours. It's not going to save a lot of energy, but it is a symbolic gesture in this time of high price of energy. And speaking of conservation, at Buckingham Palace, they're talking about changing the hats, the bearskin hats worn by the straight-faced guards. They've worn them for almost 200 years. They actually commemorate the victory over the French Imperial Guards at the Battle of Waterloo. But to try and save black bears, the Buckingham Palace guardsmen are looking at replacing with a more modern alternative. So if you want your pictures, go now. And then the last story. Tell me if this sounds like a good idea to you. A woman who missed her plane but had her luggage go on the plane was trying to get the plane turned around and reportedly told people that there was a bomb in her luggage. Well, you might not be surprised to know that a New York judge has ordered her to pay for the cost of an emergency landing, which is a $23,000 fine. It's not a good idea. Don't ever do that. More details about these and other stories, go to the show notes at amateurtraveler.com. I'd like to welcome to the show Lori from Saratoga Springs, New York, who's come to talk to us about the Bahamas. Lori, welcome to the show.
Thank you so much.
So why the Bahamas? Why should someone go to the Bahamas? Let's start with the basics.
Well, in my experience working in the travel, hospitality, and tourism business for the last 25 years, I have found that the Bahamas, and particularly the Bahama Out Islands, are just so underrated. And people don't know how beautiful they are and how wonderfully warm and hospitable the people are, particularly when you get into the Out Islands.
And we talk about the Out Islands, we're talking about the lesser known and the smaller islands. Are we also talking further to the east?
Well, the Out Islands really encompass everything that is not Nassau, Freeport, Paradise Island.
Okay.
You have everything, you know, Abacos, Exuma, Andros, right down to San Salvador and Cat Island.
Okay. And if you had to recommend an itinerary of the Bahamas, especially the Out Islands, say a week or 2 week itinerary, what would you recommend? What's a good way to first see the Bahamas?
Well, the first thing I would do is find out what the people are really looking for, because as you well know, anyone who's going on vacation has their own ideal in their mind of what they would like to do and the things they'd like to see and experiences that they want to have. And one of the nice things about the Bahamas is that you do have a wide variety of different options in that regard. If someone was interested in getting a great overview of what the Bahamas has to offer, and they did have 10 days to 2 weeks, I would certainly recommend that they spend some time either in, preferably in Nassau Paradise Island area, which is very glitzy. There's more hustle and bustle, and there's really fun things to do at Atlantis for the kids as far as seeing the sharks and the, you know, all that kind of stuff. And then go and experience the wonderful serenity of one or two of the out islands. Treasure Key on Abaco has always been one of my favorite places. In fact, my family has several homes there now because it has that wonderful balance of being a community spirit, yet still maintaining that lovely Bahamian atmosphere, where you've got, actually, the beach in Treasure Key has been rated by National Geographic as one of the 10 most beautiful in the world. And okay. If you're a beach person, that's a great reason to go there. But also, they have a Dick Wilson golf course there. They have wonderful restaurants. Not a lot of them, but, you know, enough to satisfy most people on a vacation. And there's duty-free shopping, so you have that arrangement as well. And then you can get to some of the islands that are a little more remote, a little more tranquil. Eleuthera is one that comes to mind. The Exumas actually are getting more built up now, but they used to be very quiet, almost fishing village-like, where you can go and just totally relax and beach it, snorkel, shelling, fishing, that sort of vacation.
Okay. As I'm picturing what you're describing, we sort of started with a real resort atmosphere, Atlantis obviously being such a huge resort, and then we sort of worked our way to a more, I'd want to say, residential island. I'm thinking more like Kihei on Maui sort of feel to right. it. And then we're working our way to something that is a little more undiscovered.
Absolutely.
Okay. And is there anything in the Bahamas that's really undiscovered at this point? How far do we go down that continuum?
Well, there are 700 islands that make up the Bahamas, which is kind of funny. I mean, obviously, all of them are not inhabited. But you don't hear about it so much, but you're finding that celebrities are buying up some of these smaller islands like Musha Key and Garden Key and making them their own private paradise. So I think more and more you'll hear in the media about these other islands that were never developed as resorts coming up for sale and being purchased by people who just want to really get away from everything.
Mm-hmm. Well, and we see, obviously, the cruise ships also buying up islands in the Bahamas now, too, for their private little playgrounds.
Great Stirrup Key and a couple of those places. Mm-hmm. They do have their own, and they've had them for a while. Actually, the big red boat used to come into one of the Abacos off of Guanaki, is one of the barrier islands off the Abacos. And they had a whole area where they just had their people come and stay and experience, you know, an island experience for the day, so to speak.
If I go to the Bahamas for the first time, what's going to surprise me?
I think you're going to be surprised at how wonderful the people are. It's a very interesting history in the Bahamas because you have the people who came from the Carolinas and settled and developed plantations, and then you had the slaves who came and settled in the Bahamas. It was key to the rum-running trade, you know, mm-hmm. going back. And so there's quite an interesting history there, and the people are very, very kind, and they may be a little bit shy, but there's a warmth there. There's still fun things to do, like going to Manawar Key and buying a coconut pie from Mrs. Albury, or going to the sail shop there and buying a canvas tote bag that was made in that shop right there by these ladies who have been doing them for years and years and years.
A lot of people are going to, we said, Atlantis, for instance, which you can see advertisements for practically in any travel magazine. What are the tourists missing when they go there? What kind of experience is off the track from what the guidebooks are recommending?
They miss the Bahamian experience, in my opinion. Atlantis is wonderful, and I've been there many times myself, but you don't get to be with the people. And I know in my business, I've said time and time again, whenever you're selling a property, you have to sell the destination first. And once you get outside that Atlantis experience and go to an island like Andros, for example, and chat with the lady who's selling her produce roadside, or go to the Androsia factory where they make those beautiful batiks and just do a tour there and meet the regular people who live and work on that island. It gives you a whole different perspective on the destination as a whole.
And when we say chat with the lady roadside, English is the language in the Bahamas, so I'm not going to have any barriers from that point of view. And as you describe the Bahamian experience, am I saying that correctly? Bahamian?
Bahamian, yes.
Okay. What's the best day you've had?
Well, I'm a sheller. I love to go out and walk on the beach at low tide and collect sand dollars that have obviously died. I mean, you don't take the live ones.
Mm-hmm.
And shells and things like that. It just gives me an opportunity to reflect in my own mind, and it's good exercise, and it's great eye candy. And when you're walking on the beach, say in Treasure Key, anyone you might pass, and you don't pass a lot of people, they always say hello to you. People smile, they wave, even though they don't know you. And I really like that type of atmosphere.
Anything that the guidebooks recommend for the Bahamas as something you have to do that you think is just a little bit of a waste of time?
Well, most of the guidebooks that we've worked with or seen, like you know, any of your major ones, I think they do a pretty good job. And again, I think it's all about what people are looking for. What
sure,
are their
certainly.
Expectations?
Recommendations of places to stay.
Well, I recommend trying to rent a villa. I think renting a villa in the Bahamas, Treasure Key, or one of the other out islands is just a fabulous experience.
Okay. You know, I assume we're no longer talking budget travel at that point, obviously.
No, you are.
I was just going to say,
believe it or not, people have this concept that villas are all about lifestyles of the rich and famous, and nothing could be further from the truth. There are villas that start at $900 a week and will accommodate a family of 4 to 6 people. And unfortunately, people don't realize that because our media has done a wonderful job of emphasizing the high-end properties. But in the Bahamas, you can rent a lovely villa or a cottage or a condominium on one of the islands and either be on the beach or within walking distance to the beach for anywhere between $900 and, I'm going to say, $2,000 high season.
And high season is when?
High season in the Bahamas runs approximately from November 15th to April 15th.
Okay. So it excludes the hurricane season in the fall, but also the summer months.
Yeah, and actually the summer months are the most beautiful months in the Bahamas because that's when the sun is out till 9 o'clock at night, and the water is calm like glass, and that is when the fishing tournaments and the sailing regattas and things like that take place because the sea is so calm.
Okay. Anything notable about the cuisine in the Bahamas?
Well, they do have their own cuisine, and unfortunately, the Bahamas are often dumped in with the Caribbean. And actually, if you look at the Bahamas on a map, they're in the Atlantic Ocean. And there is a little bit of its own culture. They have Jhankanoo. That is very much Bahamian, although, you know, you see in tourism, they use that a lot in other places. But there are things that are definitely Bahamian. They have great drinks like Goombay Smashes, and they have wonderful fish. They cook fish with simple things like tomatoes, onions, and peppers. That's a very Bahamian dish. Johnny cake is very Bahamian.
Okay. So that's part of the North Carolina influence or the Carolina influence then?
I would say so. They do have their own thing going on there. I've worked in other islands in Jamaica and such where the Jamaican cuisine would be totally different from the Bahamian cuisine.
So Johnny cakes would be a corn pancake almost.
Yes, the Bahamian Johnny cake, I don't know what it is. Maybe it's their water. I can't tell you. But it has a particular flavor that you know it's Bahamian.
Okay. And then you mentioned Jhankanoo, and that one I didn't know.
Yeah, Jhankanoo is a Bahamian celebration.
Okay.
It's like when they do these other festivals in the Caribbean. Sometimes I feel they're so overplayed that it just takes away from it. Every island seems to adopt the same thing, and it may not be part of their culture.
Maybe a more recent addition is what you're thinking.
Well, I think it's a tourism thing.
Tourism thing, okay.
To attract people as one aspect of the experience.
And in terms of getting around the Bahamas, I'm assuming I'm flying there usually, and then I'm getting around via boat or flying to some of the more remote islands. As you mentioned, for instance, your itinerary, how am I accomplishing that?
Well, unfortunately, there's not terrific inter-island service.
Okay.
You can't really go, let's say, from, at least not to my knowledge, you can't go from Abaco to Eleuthera unless you charter a plane. You really have to go via Miami or Nassau.
Okay.
To get from one island to the other. And that's just the way it's been. I know years ago we had meetings with government and said this would be a great thing if we could really make that work so that people could have a multiple island experience, even if they're only there for a week.
Sure.
Which they tend not to do because it takes too much time to get from one place to the other.
Okay, interesting. Now, obviously, some people also charter a boat in the Bahamas because of the number
Absolutely.
Of islands that are there. But that's almost more a different show at that point. So,
well, they do have what they call water taxis,
okay.
which is a water ferry service from some of the islands to one another. For example, there's a water taxi in both Treasure Key and Marsh Harbor, which are the two main towns on Abaco. And these water taxis go to the other smaller Abaco islands, such
Got
as
it.
Green Turtle Key or Man O' War Key or Guana, Elbow Key.
Okay. One warning you would give about going to the Bahamas?
Well, like anything else, when you get outside the U.S., you don't want to bring produce. There are things that you have to be careful of. You can bring food, like frozen meat we used to travel with, and tuna fish, and I don't know, things that you know you may not find easily in some of the out-island grocery stores. But having said that, over the years, the grocery stores have improved such that they carry many items that you would find in a normal U.S. grocery store.
Okay. And you're carrying frozen meat, I assume, because you're renting a villa at that point, and so you're bringing some groceries with you that you didn't think you'd get, rather than you just usually go around carrying frozen meat.
Exactly. Like
okay.
steak. I mean, you know, you might want to bring your frozen steaks with you. My mother actually used to freeze a canned ham and use that as her quote-unquote block of ice for the other things that she was bringing, such as specialty cheeses, which you won't find in the Bahamas.
Okay.
That sort of thing.
Thinking back to your first trip to the Bahamas, what do you wish you'd known before you'd gone?
Years ago, going back, we used to have to fly on really small planes. And I guess what I could say is you become accustomed to that and gain an appreciation for the fact that by flying in some of these smaller aircraft, and I'm talking about Cessna 420s. They're really small. I used to call them mosquitoes, in fact. You fly low and you get to see a lot
uh-huh.
as you're coming from the Florida coast into the Bahamas.
The most memorable person you've met, you've mentioned a couple different people there that you've run into in your travels. Who sticks out in your memory?
Wow, that's really a tough one. Actually, I like Vincent Vanderpool Wallace, who is currently the director of tourism. I believe that's his proper title. I've known Vincent for a long time because he was part of Merv Griffin's big operation, and he's had a variety of roles throughout the years. What I really like about Vincent is he's not lost that personal touch of dealing with people on a regular basis. In other words, he hasn't separated himself now that he's more important and he's got a lot more on his plate than he used to. And I think that's part of the way in the Bahamas. I mean, people are accessible. They listen to you and they take you seriously.
You talked about the Bahamas being in the Atlantic, being different from the Caribbean. When I say Bahamas, what do you picture? What is the quintessential Bahama scene or moment or experience?
Long, white, sandy beaches that just seem to go on forever, and that beautiful turquoise blue water you find very rarely anywhere else. You know, a lot of eye candy if you're a beach person.
Any questions I should ask as we wind this down?
I hope that people will look at the Bahamas as an option for their upcoming vacations, but they need to do so with the understanding that different islands have different personalities.
Mm-hmm.
And whoever they're going to make their travel plans with, they should ensure that that person understands what type of vacation environment they would be most comfortable in.
Okay. Your best recommendation in terms of resources for planning a trip to the Bahamas?
Well, if you're going to do a villa rental, I highly recommend VHR Worldwide, because that company actually started their business in the Bahamas, and they're very, very well known.
As we wrap this up, if you could summarize the Bahamas with just three words, what would they be?
Beach.
Okay.
Friendliness.
Okay.
And that's a good one. I have to think about that a minute. Well, I would say a lot of eye candy.
Okay.
Do we put a hyphen in that and make that one word?
We can make that one word. That's not a problem.
Yeah, you really do get a lot of eye candy there. You know, with the flowers and the beaches and that beautiful, beautiful blue water.
Well, Lori, thank you so much for coming on the show and giving us some recommendations about what to do if we're heading to the Bahamas.
Well, thank you so much. I appreciate the opportunity, and I hope people will visit those beautiful islands.
As far as internet resources go this week, I'd like to point out an article to you by Debbie, who's been a guest on the show from Delicious Baby. The article is Money-Saving Tips the Travel Industry Doesn't Want You to Know. Debbie did a nice job of pointing out things like credit card companion fares, where to find maps of public transit through Google, how to renegotiate your rates if the rates have gone down since you booked your rental car or hotel, and a couple other really practical tips. So check out a link at amateurtraveler.com to that article. In news from the community, this is the 150th show. If you want to help me celebrate it, if you haven't reviewed the show on iTunes yet, that would be a great way to celebrate, at least on my behalf. I got an email a little while back, I think it was in July, from Arlene from Rockland, Maryland, who wrote me and said, "Dear Chris, I listen to your podcast often. I really enjoy it. I just returned from traveling around Brazil for a month. I traveled by myself and made my own arrangements. I found Brazil very friendly, the food fantastic, and the scenery very pretty. I went to Rio, the Pantanal, an Amazon jungle camp called Juma Lodge, Salvador, Ouro Preto, Tiradentes, and Cabo Frio. I mostly stayed in youth hostels, pousadas, and a few hotels. I had an air pass, but also took buses, which are really good in Brazil. Anyway, I thought your listeners might like to know that a single woman can travel easily in Brazil. Happy travels." Arlene, thanks for writing and telling us that. It's always interesting to hear where people are going. We had a question come up on a previous show about hurricanes and hurricane strength, and I was trying to remember hurricane strength off the top of my head. This seems like an appropriate topic given what's happening this week. DH wrote and said, "The Saffir-Simpson scale is on a scale of 1 to 5, and a hurricane, class 1 hurricane, is 74 to 95 miles per hour, usually a storm surge of 4 to 5 feet. Class 2 is 96 to 110 miles per hour, storm surge 6 to 8 feet usually. Class 3, 111 to 130 miles per hour, storm surge 9 to 12 feet. Class 4, 131 to 155 miles per hour, storm surge usually 13 to 18 feet. And a class 5, winds greater than 155 miles an hour, and storm surge usually greater than 18 feet. So that's something to keep in mind as you're listening to the news this week with all the hurricanes that seem to be heading towards people you may know. This show is again sponsored by Budget Rental Car. If you want to save on your next car rental, then just go to budget.com/travel. And with that, we'll wrap up this episode. If you have any questions, feel free to email them to host@amateurtraveler.com or leave a comment on the show notes at amateurtraveler.com. And as always, thanks so much for listening.